Luther says, from the fact that prayer is so urgently commanded, you ought to conclude that we should by no means despise our prayers, but rather praise them highly.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
This is an act of obedience, he says. On this I rely and depend and revere it highly because of the commandment. But he also says, God has made and affirmed a promise with the Lord's Prayer that what we pray is certain and a sure thing. All that stuff that you don't want, that the Spirit compels you to pray for when you pray the Lord's Prayer, is a sure thing to be answered true, concluding on the last day, of course, but already present through faith alone in Christ.
You can listen to Pastor Fisk's presentation, Making the Case for the Lord's Prayer, in an audio DVD from the 2016 Making the Case Conference for a donation of $300. We'll send you this audio DVD. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
When we heard the 5x5 vision, we got really excited to see a church really believing for something that was seemingly impossible. You know, at 5 campuses in 5 years, reaching 5,000 people in the Bay Area for Christ. And we've heard statistics about, you know, 96% of the Bay Area is unchurched. And so it really spoke to our hearts that we could be a part of something great and something that really could make an impact here. We had the loans, we had mortgage, we had a lot of reasons why we could have said to each other we shouldn't give, but we decided that this was really something that the Lord wanted us to do. Pastor Adam, you know, said write the number down, and so I wrote one number, and Luke wrote another, and I'm much more of a, give $1 billion! And Luke is a lot more, let's be practical. So our numbers were really far apart, needless to say, yeah. And we decided to compromise somewhere in the middle, closer to Luke's number than my number.
That's a little bit of a promotional video for C3SV. Remember when churches used to have names like St. Paul's or Trinity or Holy Cross? Not anymore. Not anymore, especially if you're in Silicon Valley. It's got to sound like a computer language. C3SV stands for Christian City Church, Silicon Valley. C3 cubed, Silicon Valley. And Silicon Valley is true, not a place where you find a lot of churches. There are churches there, good, faithful churches, but 96% unchurched is the often quoted statistic. So if the place needs churches, is the answer a hipster church like C3SV? Joining us to talk about this hipster church in Silicon Valley, Shane Rosenthal, executive producer of the White Horse Inn radio show. He's contributing writer and editor of Modern Reformation magazine and assistant pastor at Christ Presbyterian Church in St. Charles, Missouri. Shane, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, good to be with you.
I think we would agree that Silicon Valley and every valley needs all the churches it can get, but is hipster church the answer?
Well, you know, that's one of the challenges of our time, right? You want to see churches growing, especially in areas where there appears to be a dearth. And so in some cases, you want to say, hey, great, church is expanding. But the problem comes when you evaluate the quality of the new kinds of church. And in particular, you know, you have this particular specific market demographic of let's appeal to the hipsters, let's appeal to the tech industry type individual, the person who might like the name C3 more than a Redeemer Lutheran Church in the name. It's basically a lot of marketing and, you know, appealing in the articles and the write-ups to cultural relevance. Those particular things sort of show up the triumph of consumerism and marketing, so that what would be, at the end of the day, we're just rebranding. We're taking the wisdom of the marketing tradition, and we're selling something. The package that is being sold is supposedly the same as the classical church, right? It's just under a new brand, a new logo. Except for the fact that that's not exactly what you get at the end. It's not just another church. In fact, what happens in those kinds of places is you have a complete switch from what used to be called Christianity to a new kind of Christianity, which is in a position from someone like me, probably you as well, not Christianity at all.
What do you mean by that? What is it that what is it if it's not Christianity that's being pushed at churches like this?
So my insight into this comes from reading a book called The Secularist Heresy, written by a friend of C.S. Lewis named Harry Blumeyers, way back in English context in 1952. Blumeyers at that time was talking about this trend as it was just beginning, and he said this: "Today's churchgoer is nowadays unlikely to come away with church wondering, has that sermon got any connection with the secular world outside the church? He's more likely to come away asking, has that sermon got any connection with anything other than the secular world? Has it led my thoughts to where picking up a newspaper or turning on the television could not have led?" And then he says that Christianity is relevant to all aspects of life, but can we be so obsessed with being relevant that we forget how to be Christian? And he diagnoses the problem by saying, "Many have tackled the problem of how to present the Christian message in an idiom intelligible to the 20th century mind." He's writing in the mid-1900s. "I've addressed myself to the opposite problem, that of keeping the Christian message free from corruption by 20th century habits of thought, which," he says, "are fundamentally hostile to it." And the outrage, he says, is being committed in our day, wherever the supposed Christian message is presented without reference to baptism, grace, regeneration, without reference to incarnation, atonement, redemption, without reference to church, sacrament, or Holy Spirit. Now think about those categories that he presents there. This just always blows my mind. You go into a typical megachurch, a particular market-driven, culturally relevant group, and you don't hear about baptism, grace, regeneration, incarnation, atonement, redemption, sacraments. What you hear are, normal street language, but love and warmth and maybe a loose concept of grace. I was at one megachurch where they even talked about God and liking us to get funky when it came to the music. You know, I don't know about you, Todd, but I've read the Bible. I can't remember any place where God liked people to get funky. There was one scene in the Old Testament where he didn't like them getting funky, and around the golden calf, and he actually wanted to put a stop to that kind of thing. But this is the day we live in, where church is attempting to appeal to the person of our day, trying to make it relevant. Have actually exchanged the church instead of being a transcendent church. Have tried to make the church relevant to where they're at. But in doing that, they've made the church just like the world. It's just a community group with a little bit of Christian sprinkling.
It's ironic to me, Shane, that part of the trouble they claim to be trying to address in Silicon Valley at C3SV Church is, these young professionals, they have everything. They show up at work and the food is all complimentary. They work at these big dot-coms or techs, and they work for places like Facebook and Google, places that are genuinely the most relevant places in the world, if relevance counts for anything of that kind. But they want more. Why is it then that when they get to church on Sunday morning at C3SV, they don't give them more? They just give them more of the same.
Yeah, well, that's the problem of relevance. I mean, you, in the quest for relevance, which, by the way, hasn't worked out that well for the mainline denominations, they started down that path in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and ended up, by the 60s, preaching the Vietnam War and left-centered politics. And it's relevant to the person who likes left-centered politics, but few other people. And in the same vein, you have a startup church doing niche demographics to find out how do we meet the young 30-something Silicon Valley techie. And what we find out when we do that is you're going to speak his language and speak things that are relevant to his time and day. The problem is that propitiation typically doesn't come up when you're asking what's relevant to the young Silicon Valley techie. It's a relevant word for the Bible, and it's relevant for the perspective that God has, why we need to have God's anger and wrath turned aside by the death of Christ, but it's not particularly relevant as a felt need for the techie. And when you try to adjust the, you know, the sales pitch, I am going to try to reach out to this one individual. Well, the fact is we're never called to do that. We're called to preach the gospel to all nations and make disciples of all nations, but not to adjust the message to the particular interests of one particular demographic group.
Some would say, look, this is just what Bill Hybels, this is just what Rick Warren were doing two decades ago. They're just carrying the ball further down the field. Would you agree or disagree?
I would, in general, agree. This particular group, is reading the articles about them, looks to be more Pentecostal, and it has certain nuances. But yes, I think it's the same, following the same trajectory led by Bill Hybels and the megachurch movement. Basically, we're focusing on cultural relevance, outreach, dynamic worship. It's basically a buyer's market, so you're trying to attract the consumer rather than to make demands on your disciple or your parishioner. And in the buyer's market, you know, how can we reach out to you, and what are your needs? What are your felt needs? And we need to appeal to those kinds of things. There is some wisdom to thinking about what are the needs of my audience, but if you, in that process, end up short shrifting those essential things upon which Christianity is, you know, founded upon, then you have, if you change the gospel to tailor it to your audience, that's where the problem comes.
Shane Rosenthal is our guest. We're talking about a Silicon Valley hipster church, C3SV. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this hipster church. Yes, they're just doing what Bill Hybels and Rick Warren started, but, you know, to their credit, at least in their early days, Hybels and Warren kept the essence of Christianity. Why was it inevitable that it be lost if you kept running the ball down that field? We'll be right back. How has pop American Christianity replaced the Holy Trinity with the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Has American Christianity Failed? It's written by regular guest Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Has American Christianity Failed is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or find out more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Has American Christianity Failed?
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia, and Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a Silicon Valley hipster church. Shane Rosenthal is our guest, executive producer of the White Horse Inn radio show, contributing writer and editor of Modern Reformation magazine, and assistant pastor at Christ Presbyterian Church in St. Charles, Missouri. You'll find links to the White Horse Inn and Modern Reformation magazine under the Listen on Demand page issuesetc.org. Shane, we were talking before the break about how this is in a lot of ways a continuation of the megachurch movement, the seeker-driven movement. Was it inevitable that, although I don't think either Hybels or Rick Warren or any of the others, the progenitors there of the church growth movement or the seeker-driven movement, would have wanted it this way, was it inevitable that Christianity be forfeited eventually if you are going to take a seeker-driven model?
So I don't know if it's inevitable that Christianity as a whole. So I do think it's inevitable that the form and structure of what should be a Christian church was inevitable. For example, you had in 2007 or 8 the Reveal study, which showed, hey, the people at Willow Creek were essentially upset. They were feeling like they weren't being spiritually fed. They were, and these were the people who were invested in the organization. But they were feeling like fortune cookie spirituality isn't enough for us. We need meat. And the people in the leadership said, well, essentially, people need to be self-feeders. We're here providing resources, and we're trying to make these things attractive. And, you know, come and get it. And we have all these different niche groups, but it's basically you have to be where it's a trough model. That's the way they think. And in when you compare this to the New Testament, you know, Jesus is very clear to the disciples that they are called to go and make disciples of all nations and teach them and baptize them. You know, you have that language with Jesus and Peter, where Jesus tells Peter to feed the sheep, tend the sheep, regularly there at the end of John's gospel. So this is something that is the lifeblood of the church. It's not just putting teaching there on a website, although that's something you and I do in our respective ministries. But we basically, the lifeblood of the church is the care of actual pastor shepherds who are not just teaching, but also caring for the sheep individually, and then making sure that they are being discipled over the long haul, repenting of sin and being baptized and being confronted with various issues. Well, that's the kind of thing that's not well done in one of these sittings where it's just come, y'all get it. Because, you know, as I was a member of one of those churches, when I just converted to Christianity, you know, you kind of slip in and out of those places without being cared for or being recommended for baptism or anything. It's just, hey, come on and get it. And that's where this kind of a church with a particular call to let's have a big church with rap music and lots of, you know, Kickstart videos. Well, it's just the same trajectory, which, you know, it's not going to be the kind of church, an ecclesiastical structure that Jesus actually founded.
There's a section here in the BuzzFeed story that I want to read to you, and I ask you what this means exactly. Smallcombe is the name of the pastor there at the Silicon Valley Church. Smallcombe's response to questions about the church's stance on homosexuality was evasive. Quote, there's a big difference between to approve of it, acceptance and approval. He said, I might not approve of somebody's lifestyle, but I don't need to approve of it. If I'm at a dinner table with them having a conversation, what I'll do is if they invite my perspective in, I will tell them what I believe and what I see the Bible's position is. But I fundamentally love them. I love people, even if they never change. Not coming out in support of gay marriage is a position, I said, writes the reporter. Smallcombe replied that his position was love. What was the pastor of the Silicon Valley Church saying there?
That I don't know. I think the reporter was right. It's a little bit evasive. He is essentially saying some things that I would agree with. We want to love the sinner no matter what their background is. If they have a problem with gambling, cheating on their spouse, or homosexuality, hey, the church is a hospital for sinners, and I'm going to reach out to you and care for you and be there for you as you're thinking about the faith, as you want to dialogue about the faith, as you want to become baptized into a disciple of the faith. On the other hand, the pastor of the church, representatives of Christ's flock, are called to speak out law and gospel very clearly. And in the case of, you know, homosexual marriage, well, you don't have to agree with everything that Jesus said, but you do have to come to terms with the fact that Jesus and his disciples, you know, were not for sexual immorality. They did not. So either take it or leave it. And this is what Christian ministers are called to do. They're called to put forth the commands and the gospel proclamations of Christ. Now, that is hard teaching in our day, but this is the problem. When you're looking at a culturally relevant ministry, you know what? It's not relevant to where people are at to give the hard teachings, to give the difficult stuff, to give the law, and to give the harsh, judgmental tone. And yet, a lot of that's in the Bible. What are you going to do?
One of the catchphrases of the Silicon Valley Church is, don't like religion? Great, neither do we. What is that saying? What is that sales pitch about with a couple minutes here?
So it's interesting. If you look at the end of the article, which I'd really encourage your listeners to read, there's a person there at the end, a non-Christian, interacting with a member of this church, and they fundamentally thought that that was false advertising. You know, if you don't consider yourself religious, you shouldn't call yourself a church. And the fact is, I agree with that guy. I agree with a non-Christian that it's false advertising. Christianity is a religion. It's one of the major religions of the world. Now, the typical lines in our day is, in order to attract people who are coming from a perspective of being burned out on religion, we're not offering a religion, we're offering a relationship. Yeah, but a relationship with whom? With Jesus of Nazareth, who is not just a nice teacher from the past, but actually God in human flesh, died, and buried, risen again from the dead. Well, frankly, that's religious dogma. It's either true or it's not true, but it's religion. So to call it not religion is just fundamentally false advertising in order to appeal to those who've been burned out on religion. But it's also a little bit true in that they no longer have the things that I mentioned at the beginning of the interview about that Harry Blamires had talked about. There's very little discussion of baptism, of regeneration, of atonement, of all these things that are classically identified with the Christian religion, which makes it seem like it's actually a kind of a true statement.
With about 30 seconds here, these churches often are strongly image-driven, kind of the hipster image, the right haircut, and fashion.
Right.
Does that, what does that say about these hipster churches? About a minute here, Shane.
So there is it's basically called cool hunting. And this is the thing. If you're going to sell a product on television, you can't be wearing outdated clothes. You got to look cool. You got to look hip for it to be attractive. And they're basically applying that idea into their sales pitch, to their web marketing, to their to everything they do visually. And the fact is, it works. The question we need to all ask is not what works, though. The question we need to ask is, are we being faithful to our tradition? Is our tradition being sold out in exchange for a mess of pottage? And the end of the 20th century, actually the beginning of the 21st century, we have to realize that there is a, the messengers of the Christian tradition are infected with the disease of secularism. We are propagating secularism from our pulpits, and that's why secularism is on the rise. Partly is because the people who are speaking, you think you go to a church and you're going to hear the transcendent message from a transcendent kingdom, but you're not. You're hearing how to live a happy life and how to be a better you.
Shane Rosenthal is executive producer of The White Horse and radio show, contributing writer and editor of Modern Reformation magazine, and assistant pastor of Christ Presbyterian Church in St. Charles, Missouri. You'll find links to The White Horse Inn and Modern Reformation magazine under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Shane, thanks for being our guest.
Good to be with you, Todd.
When we come back in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., our weekly series, Worldview Watch, will talk about karma, debt, works, and grace with Pastor Jonathan Fisk.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.